You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
To Dallas, Dak Prescott has been quite busy this offseason. Let's catch up on his biggest news. The Cowboys signed Dak to a $160 million deal with $126 million guaranteed. In his first five seasons, Dak had a cash value of $35 million. He'll take home $75 million this year. Nice. Dallas starting quarterback has finally been cleared to return to action after an ankle injury ended his 2020 season. The Cowboys QBR dropped 80-42 with Dak off the field last year. He will also have some new heat on his feet this season. He's leaving Adidas for a five-year deal with Jordan Brand. Dak is the only quarterback and will be the highest paid NFL player on the Signature Lines roster. Dak has been with Adidas since his Pro Bowl rookie season with the Cowboys in 2016, and the sponsors have been rolling in ever since. Earlier this offseason, he became a spokesman for Anheuser-Busch InBev, Pepsi, Sleep Number, Dan & Yogurt, Campbell Soup, 7-Eleven, AT&T, Beats by Dre, among others, since he's been the Cowboys' starter. But guys, he hasn't just been racking in the cash. He's also been testing out his ankle, and it sounds like he's working his hips a little too. Listen for yourself.
Yeah, had a good Cinco de Mayo, was a little active, and at that time maybe did some little dance moves, and I felt like I'm ready to go. So that was the time that I said in my head, the injury's gone. So,
Smithson playoff wins.
What? Stephen A. got to have a new target. Can't make fun of Baker Mayfield anymore with all those endorsements.
What? Your volume's on your computer while you're
This is, you know, this really.
What?
Let me say this.
Okay.
On a serious note, Dak Prescott deserved his money. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very happy that he got it. You know, on a serious note, with him, what he went through, losing his brother, my heart goes out to him and his family. On a serious note, all joking aside, wishing him nothing but the best. But now let me get into my Cowboys trolling. Am I allowed to do that?
Absolutely.
Can I do that?
Not only are you allowed, you're required.
Can I do that?
I apologize, Molly. I interrupt because I got distracted by all of those endorsements. Before I go on, go ahead and ask the question because I want to make sure I'm on point because I got to please you here. You tell me what question you want me to ask.
The question I was going to ask is he's the quarterback under the most pressure. But if you have something you want to discuss based on that list of endorsements,
the answer would be yes.
You do you.
The answer would be yes. And I appreciate you educating me. I know all this. You see, this is what makes me so I just get so disgusted. What the hell has any cowboy done in the modern era to earn all of this? Anheuser-Busch, InBev, Pepsi, Sleep Number, Dan and Yogurt, Campbell Soup. I thought Campbell Soup was for winners, man. I mean, what's up?
Is there Wheaties in there?
Seven Eleven, open all the time. Really? Really? They ain't been the Cowboys. They've been closed come playoff time for the last few years.
7-Eleven might be their record, something like that.
7-10. AT&T, you know, that's a fabulous, fabulous phone company. Yeah. My brother Jeff works there and his wonderful wife Nina. What's up, y'all? But here's the deal. AT&T, why does he have an endorsement there? You know, the connection, is that what it is? The connection? Okay, and Beats by Dre. Now, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, I fulfilled one of the moments on my bucket list months ago because I met my brother, Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
There is no one that loves Dr. Dre more than me.
Really?
I mean, that brother he's a genius. He is special, and I hope you're good in good health, my brother. Nothing but love for you. But what the hell? And maybe that makes sense because obviously you listen to the music and you want to cover your ears from all the shrapnel of criticism coming your way. Maybe that endorsement deal makes sense. Mm-hmm. But all these endorsement deals for Dak Prescott, and I'm just sitting there going like this. I'm happy he's gotten his money. I'm happy he's got all of this stuff. But it validates what Jerry Jones' position has been in the past. Hey, man, you remember the Dallas Cowboys. That brings money in. Just being associated with us is going to get you paid. And sure enough, this proves it. Because nothing on the field from the Dallas Cowboys overall has validated
that's
that.
That's not fair. He's got a great reputation.
No, he's
likable guy. He's handsome. He's the total package.
No, he's not. And here's why. All of those things that you just said are true. The last part I'll leave to you because I don't flow like that. But everything else that you said, I'm good with it. My point is...
Will you rank the handsomest quarterbacks, please?
Stephen A's list, handsomest quarterbacks.
That's not how I roll.
Top five.
I will critique their outfits, though, but not. But I don't go into all of that. All I'm trying to say is that, he ain't win yet. So this is the problem. This is what gives those nauseated, disgusting fans out there who I despise. Now, the Cowboys, I don't despise them. But the fans, nothing pleases me more than to see a miserable, sorry Cowboy fan. And this is the reason why they get to believe this stuff. Because no matter what, they in the news, they getting endorsement deals, they being hyped, even though they always home early. That's 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven open all the time. They ain't closed, but the Cowboys aren't come postseason time. Book January. You can't find the Cowboys until the following December, of September rather. But somehow, some way, all of these damn endorsement deals. Way to go with the Jordan brand, though. I like the fact
they better hope the defense shows up or it's going to be 6-11. Forget about 7-Eleven.
Oh, please.
That's right. 6-11.
Unbelievable.
Go ahead, man.
Is he a top five most handsome quarterback?
My God, this is awkward. I'm married. Carry on.
I would never ask you that question.
Well, I asked you.
Don't ask me.
I'm not the one who brought it up. What's the question here?
Oh, my gosh. What quarterback's under the most pressure? Now I feel like it's Dak because we're all in his business with his laundry list of endorsements.
It's not Dak.
Dak, look. Dak just got all the endorsements. Dak, you know why he got the endorsements, even though they haven't been winning? Dallas Cowboys quarterback, and he's good. We already know he's good. He just got paid. And he's got all the endorsement deals. And if they don't win, you know what we're going to say? Because he's got receivers everywhere. You look, the offensive line should at least be decent. We're going to say it was the defense's fault. It was the coach's fault. No one's going to write home about Mike McCarthy being such a great coach anymore, right? It's not Dak. He's not under the most pressure. Not even close. Guy who's under the most pressure is Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, his entire career, he's so talented. If only he wasn't on Detroit Lions. The reason he can't win in the playoffs, the reason he doesn't get to the playoffs, it's Detroit. Now, the Rams took the former number one overall pick, who took them to a Super Bowl. He was in two Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl. They traded him two more firsts, I think it was a fourth, to get Stafford. What you're going to do, Matthew Stafford, as Stephen A. would say, there's an enormous amount of pressure, not just for the Rams and what it means now, but for Stafford's entire legacy. Because if he can't win the ring with the Rams, we're going to look back and say, oh, no, it wasn't Detroit. It was him.
Well, let me tell you why I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong because you're thinking about just football. With Dak Prescott, because he's a Dallas Cowboy, it's not just about football. It's also about the fact that it took them so long to give him his money. It's also about the fact that the fan base that he represents. It's also about the fact that we constantly bloviate about the Dallas Cowboys. And when you look at it from that perspective, even though Matthew Stafford, the football aficionados and avid football fans, definitely is under some pressure. Hell, the Rams are under more pressure to maintain a fan base, for crying out loud, because there are various distractions in Los Angeles that could take you away from actually caring about the football game. But the point
where
that I'm
where can you focus?
I am focused. I'm always focused.
What's going on with
what
you?
What states
guys?
Are okay for you? Minnesota?
I'm just giving you want me to lie to you? Want me to lie to you?
No, I mean,
that's the truth. And that's the way it is in L.A. I mean, it's just not a priority, okay?
No, that's
and
right. So, people, if you're not good, they'll forget about
it. It's just not a priority. And so as a result of it, when you look at Dak Prescott, he's going to have the eye of the football world on him to produce. Assuming he's healthy, of course. If he's not 100% and we can see that, then he'll probably get a pass. But if he's healthy, he gets no passes. Nobody's going to give it to him because of the expectations. That, and not only that, the conference division that he's in. Because if you can't win the NFC East.
He's not going to win the NFC.
I mean, yeah, they are going to win the NFC East.
I don't think so.
Yes, they are.
They might come in third in the NFC East.
The Dallas Cowboys might come in third.
They don't have a defense.
Oh, they're winning the division.
They don't have a defense.
They're winning the division.
I don't know about that at all. I don't think there's much pressure on Dak at all, to tell you the truth. Because, you know, he's going to be good. He has received all that stuff, and he won't be held responsible for the performance of the team. He hasn't been so far. You know who else other than Stafford? Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz got everything you could
want. He's on a good team, for
including
sure.
The coach, continuity with the coach mm-hmm. from back in the day, or at least familiarity with the coach.
Yep.
Had success with the coaches. He's got an offensive line. He's got a defense. He's got everything. Yeah. And the difference between him and Dak, he didn't just get paid.
But because of you.
No, Carson Wentz.
Because of you, all Carson Wentz has to do is be decent. Because you thought he was done.
Carson Wentz lost his starting job. He is playing
for his career.
That's pressure.
I agree with that.
That's pressure.
I agree with that. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm thinking about it from the standpoint of, who are the eyeballs watching and why are we paying attention to you? If Carson Wentz's career is over, you know what we're going to say? Max, I'll tell you what you're going to say right now. Well, I knew it was over last year.
No doubt.
I'm saying, if Matthew Stafford doesn't produce in the playoffs, hell, he ain't never won a playoff game before. Why are we surprised? Dak Prescott don't get it, that's going
to
be a problem.
We have to go to break, but I personally think it's Cam Newton.
Cam's under pressure.
To see if he has anything left. We just had arguments from Keyshawn on why they should really be a threat in the AFC and all the money
Rodgers.
They spend, et cetera.
Aaron Rodgers, because if he forces a trade out of town,
yeah,
the
that's
team
true.
He
if
gets
he
to.
If he leaves,
there's going to be enormous
fair.
Pressure
if he
on
If he stays
him.
In Green Bay, I don't
he's
think so.
He's so great, I don't even apply pressure to Aaron Rodgers because, to me, his C game is better than
Your
most A games.
Your eyes twinkle when you talk about most him. You don't A even games. Realize it.
Can he's we, that lethal.
Lamar Jackson's got there's a ton
right,
of quarterbacks
right,
more pressure
We can't name all 32 now.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
New season, new number, hopefully no new problems. LeBron will be changing from number 23 to number 6 on his uniform next season. He originally planned to switch back to number 6 in the summer of 2019 when the Lakers acquired Anthony Davis because the big man had worn number 23 his entire career with New Orleans. However, Davis will remain number 3 despite LeBron's change. This calls for the battle. Our new segment where both Stephen A. and Max have 30 seconds to battle over what's better, LeBron at 6 or 23.
You want some of this?
Bring it on.
You want some of this?
Bring it on.
You want some of this?
Bring it on.
Step into me, kid, then you go.
Max Kale, you want some of this? You're up first. Let's go.
Number 6 is the answer. And I'll be even more specific than that, Stephen A. I'll say the 12-13 season, that's his third season in Miami. LeBron James' second championship in Miami was the best version of LeBron James. Number 1, he was in his physical prime. That was his age 27, 28-year-old season, playing for a Pat Riley culture team, Eric Spoelstra as head coach. The level of intensity that LeBron played with that season, wire to wire, both ends of the floor, required him to be in his physical prime.
I disagree with you. To me, it was when he won the championship in Cleveland. In Cleveland, and he beat the 73-win Golden State Warriors. That's what I'm paying attention to right here. I'm thinking about the numbers, but not just that. I'm thinking about his leadership. Remember, when he was in Miami, he had to learn to win. He had D-Wade and Pat Riley, who had to teach him how to elevate his level of play mentally, not just physically. When he arrived in Cleveland, he was the clear leader. He was the guy that came back from a 3-1 deficit to knock off a 73-win team. His leadership ability, no question about his ability to close, was there. He wasn't shy about going to the free throw line or anything else. Plus, he was still shooting J's and he was still getting to the basket. I'm going to go with that second version.
Number 2, was his defense that year. LeBron James, and he'd already learned how to lead Stephen A. by then, right? This was his third year in Miami I'm talking about. LeBron James's defense, his third year in Miami, that second championship, when I think of the greatest defensive players of all time, he comes to mind because of the defense he played that year. You talk about guys who could legit guard five positions. Mm-hmm. LeBron could guard everyone. And every position at almost an elite level. 260 pounds, 6'8" with a wingspan. But could also put him on a point guard.
I get where you're coming from. I just disagree because I think moments matter in basketball when you're that great. And even though he had 37 and 15 in the game seven, he shouldn't have got to a game seven. But Greg Popovich decided to bench Tim Duncan in a key play. They get the offensive rebound. You're the Miami Heat. Chris Bosh kicks it out to Ray Allen, and Ray Allen saves LeBron from losing yet another championship. So I'm not going with that at all. I'm still going to go back to what he did that year. They beat Golden State. Leadership did matter, and he wasn't the leader then. Even though Dwayne Wade conceded a lot to him, he didn't elevate to the point that he got to once he was in Cleveland.
Number three, his efficiency that year. It's not just the eyeball test. You know how old he is. He's in his physical prime. You can see him playing defense and all that. It's actually also the numbers. It's not your imagination that he was hitting the three better than at any point in his career. He shot better than 40% for the only time in his career from three. He was hitting 75-something percent of his free throws. He was 57% from the field. That was the most efficient version of LeBron ever. So he's in his physical prime. He's playing defense as well as almost anyone who's ever lived. And it's his most efficient offensive season.
Well, you're looking at him as an individual. And again, this is why I disagree with you. That's why LeBron James said he'll take his older self any day against his younger self, because his mind got sharp and he knew what to do, how to conserve himself, how not to expend so much getting individual numbers, that it was at the sacrifice of the team. And by the way, that was the last time, the year I'm talking about when they beat Golden State, the last time I remember LeBron James shooting better than 73% for the free throw line, to be quite honest with you. So I look at it from that perspective. And again, I'm looking at his decision-making, his leadership, his willingness to shoot free throws, not being scared to take the ball in the paint, be a bit more physical and savvy. All those things made him more impressive.
Out of time. Let's pull up the graphic. We'll show the reasons each guy's, and we'll let the folks at home decide based on the battle. Who won it? Whether it's Max or Stephen A., you can hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Milwaukee Bucks swept the Miami Heat and nothing was the same. Currently down 2-0 to the Nets, Giannis scored just 18 points on 8-for-15 shooting in Game 2. Bucks are on their home court tonight for Game 3. They'll have to rise to the occasion to avoid going out sad. Stephen A., how much pressure is on Giannis tonight? Oh, Kendrick Perkins is here too. What a big perk. Been teasing you all show.
Hey,
we got the main event right now. We'll get you in on this too. But Stephen A., where are you? How much pressure is on Giannis?
I'll make this quick because I want to hear from Big Perk. I think there's immense pressure on Giannis at the Tocumpo. We've been talking so much about this man over the last few years, and it's legit. He is big time. The numbers speak for themselves. He is a two-time league MVP. Let's give him his respect. But with that respect comes great responsibility. You can't get smoked the way that he's been smoked. You can't get outshined the way that he's gotten outshined. And you can't look helpless, as he looked in Game 2 when you call yourself that dude and championships have evaded you, or even a trip to the finals has evaded you. It is immense pressure, because if he gets blown away in this series, we'll never talk about him in the same light again. And on top of it all, he's going to cause his coach, Mike Budenholzer, to lose his job.
I can't disagree with that. It's one thing to say he's got to bring his team to victory, because as I keep saying, great bigs need a little more than great wings, because they can't get their own shots the same way. They don't control the offense the same way. And I don't think Giannis has enough around him, and I didn't think to begin the season. But one thing is true.
He can't go out soft. He's got to go out at least doing damage to the extent that he can do it. This is a dude who in the regular season scores on average almost 30 points a game with 13, 14 boards, 5, 6 assists, blocks, everything you want, plays defense. You can't tell me that because they changed the defensive scheme, you wind up with 18 points in the playoffs when your teammates aren't producing especially. So whether or not he has to lead his team to victories, that's a separate subject. I don't think that that means Giannis isn't great if he can't do that. But he's got to play like a superstar when they need him most. There is absolutely pressure for him to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's under a lot of pressure, and we're not going to let him off the hook, okay? Just like we will hold any other guy that won two MVPs or any other guy that won the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same year, like Hakeem Olajuwon or Michael Jordan. And I'm looking at this Giannis and KD matchup right now, and KD is showing him that it's levels to this. It's levels to this, and that you're not on my level, and I'm going to show it and prove it to you on both ends of the floor. And what I'm noticing right now is it takes you back to when KD was in Golden State, and he was going against LeBron James and the Cavaliers. And we all know that the Golden State Warriors had the upper hand because of the personnel that they had around them, but we also was monitoring the KD and LeBron going back and forth. And when you look at KD, he came out victorious because obviously they won the championship. Obviously he won the finals MVP. But when you go back and look at LeBron James' numbers and what he was doing against that Golden State Warriors team, no one could argue and say he didn't go down swinging or he didn't do his job or hold up his end of the bargain for us going head to head with Kevin Durant. Right now, we're saying it's night and day. And right now, I already put Giannis on my all-NBA, he is who he is team, okay? Mm. He's already on there. He is who he is. And I don't know if he could get better. I don't know if he could show us anything that he could do to upgrade his game to show us that he's on this level or ready for this moment when it comes down to him and Kevin Durant.
Bottom line is this, you know, it's expectations. You know, we've been talking about this man for years. Kendrick Perkins was right with everything that he said. He just left out something. The man has never been to a finals, let alone won a championship. You've never been there. So all of this acclaim, all of these accolades and everything like that, everybody been gassing him up. I told you years ago, he has no perimeter shot. And as long as he has no perimeter shot, you're going to get exposed come playoff time. And he's proven me right every single time. And at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to now. You're playing across from Kevin Durant, the greatest offensive weapon in the game. And this dude is giving it to you. It's not like, we got to remember this is important. Nobody's asked Greek Freak about this. Max, he's 6'11". He's 240 pounds.
And Diesel, he's too.
Agile.
He's thin, but he's strong.
He's agile yeah. And mobile. If anybody was supposed to have a chance to guard KD, it was him. You pointed out the other week, Max, how who was it that blocked KD's shot when KD pulled up from the right wing a few weeks ago before the regular season had ended? And you said, how many people could do that to KD? Well, he's one of them. Well, why is KD giving it to you? Giannis, you got to respond to that.
I'm not arguing.
You
got to
stand up and answer that.
I don't think they can win. I never thought they could win. I didn't think they have a chance.
It's not about winning. It's about how he plays.
But I can't argue when you focus on Giannis. He's got to bring it. I'm not debating that. There's no debate.
That's all I'm saying, KP. You got to stand up and go like this. I'm not hating. Listen, y'all can take advantage of Jrue Holiday. You can take advantage of Chris Middleton or somebody else. But you come my way, I'm going to handle my business. That's what Giannis is supposed to do. That's what superstars do.
Yeah, I mean, if you got any type of pride about yourself, and this is the argument that I was having last year when they were like, oh, yeah, Giannis is the Defensive Player of the Year. I said with my eyes, and I said it on this show with you and Max and Molly, I said it. Hey, look, Giannis don't guard anybody. Like we get amazed and we look at how he's able to chase down blocks and have those chase down blocks and
right.
block shots off the help side and weak side that we forget to show us what our eyes are seeing. Well, our eyes are seeing that he don't guard nobody. Like right now,
like
this
Ben
is
Simmons.
The time. Say what? Say, yeah.
Ben
so
Simmons
for example,
people. Yeah.
Right now he guards people. So right now, Stephen A. Max, check this out. Say Giannis don't have his jump shot working, right? He don't have it working. At the end of the day, Kevin Durant can't be dropping 32 points on 16
well, stop
shots.
Stop right there, KP.
And you're the reigning defensive player of the year.
Stop right there. I want to end this segment by bringing up Jalen Rose.
Okay.
Jalen Rose gave exceptional analysis the other day when he pointed out Kyrie Irving pulls up for a J.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? KD shakes you down and does this. Blake Griffin dunks.
Posterized.
All three plays were on Giannis. He was the defender on all three plays. Just wanted to point that out.
All right. Do we have time? Because I wanted to get in one more question if we do. I think we're okay. So, Max, I want to come to you on this because I wanted to ask you this earlier. Where would the Bucks be if KD and Giannis swap teams?
Well, they'd be better off because it is obvious that KD is the better player. But they wouldn't win. It's not like they're going to win a championship if you swap these guys and now the Bucks or the Nets or anything like that. Here is the problem. Giannis is a big, right? So if Giannis went to Brooklyn, they'd still be a power. Giannis with Kyrie is like a mini Shaq Kobe situation. Bigs like Giannis, and Stephen A. identified this right a couple years ago. Giannis is a big, really, dressed up as a wing. Bigs because they can't get their own shot the same way because they don't shoot usually from the outside the same way. Need a guy on their level to win. Well, everyone needs someone to win. No, not the same thing. Scottie Pippen wasn't on Michael Jordan's level, and they just totally dominated, right? Dwayne Wade's great. He's not LeBron James. They dominated. But dudes like Shaq needed Wade at his best and Kobe in his prime. That's what a big needs. Kareem at his best need Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. He needs a cat-like him, mm-hmm. right? Kyrie is a cat like that. If he was on the Nets, Giannis was on the Nets, no, they wouldn't be as good as they are with KD. Mm-hmm. But with Kyrie and Blake, let alone if Harden was there, they'd still be dominant. KD with Middleton and Drew Holiday would be better than the Bucks are now, but that's still not a championship team.
Well, first of all, you're wrong, but that's like saying the sky is blue. Nothing's new there. Here's the bottom line. when you look at Kevin Durant, and you look at what he brings to the table, what I would ask you to do, Mac, rhetorically, not requiring a response, is to go back to game one. Game one was significantly closer. If that's KD on the Milwaukee Bucks with Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, it would be 1-1 at the very least. They would play differently. And the reason why they would play differently is because now you're calling on them to do their job, but you're not, as you would point out, Max, that absence of a bona fide big two, big three, that's not necessarily required. Because what would happen is KD can close because he can hit shots from the perimeter. As a result, now I'm looking at Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, and what I'm asking for you is something different. I'm not asking you to elevate your level of play to a stratosphere that you're unfamiliar with. All I'm asking you to do is your job. If you're Chris Middleton, give me 20-plus on 45%
shooting. The series
would
be locked
up. Hold on.
They still lose.
We heard you. 45% shooting. That's what I'm asking for you. If I'm Drew Holiday, defend and give me 18-20.
Sure.
And by the way, give it to KD. The problem is they know they got to be more because the Greek freak is limited and they can't do that.
Kirk, before
That's
we get
problem.
To you real quick, Stephen A., I agree to be 1-1. Are you saying if they swap teams, the Bucks would win the series?
I think they could, yes.
No.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kirk.
I'm saying it. If you swap Giannis and KD, the Bucks will win this series. And, Max, the only reason that you're not agreeing with it is because of the James Harden situation, but I'm not going to bring that up. But, look, if you put KD on the Bucks, to Stephen A. Smith's point, which he was right, and I'm going to elevate it even more. Okay, you put KD on the Bucks, and what ends up happening? Not all the attention is on Kevin Durant. So now you have Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday and P.J. Tucker and all these guys taking, what, uncontested shots. You know why? Because you have to put so much attention on Kevin Durant. You think it's a reason why Blake Griffin is getting wide open threes. It's a reason why Blake Griffin is getting wide open dunks. It's a reason why Bruce Brown is getting wide open floaters in the lane. It's because of the attention that Kevin Durant demands every time he's on the court or every time he's on the offensive end. So he's going to make that Bucks team better. And also, we don't give KD enough credit for his defense. His defense has been spectacular. So you take KD and you put him on this Bucks. The Bucks will win this series with this supporting cast that they have that Giannis has right now.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Here he is. We finally got him. Quavo joining the show. So good to have you with us. I feel like we've been talking about you all week. The takes you got on Stephen A's World, just repping your Hawks. You got the new album coming out, all that good stuff. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm just here kicking it. I ain't getting no rest right now because it's album time and we lock it down, the mixes and doing everything, but I'm excited. Culture 3 dropped tomorrow and I'm just kicking it.
Had the hottest sports takes all week.
Yeah.
Quavo had the hottest sports takes all week.
Let's get into it. Let's get into some of those takes. Appreciate you making some time with all the promotional stuff going on. Talk to me about your Hawks tied 1-1 with the Sixers now. Game 3 in Atlanta. How you feeling, sir?
We feeling good. I'm feeling good. Especially, we in Atlanta, so I feel like I think we can take another one. We stole one. Every time I feel like we steal one, I think we'll be all right at home because it's very tough to come to the crib, especially if I'm there and Atlanta fans and Atlanta Hawks fans filling up the stadium talking all that good stuff. So I think we'll get it.
Well, you got me good, my brother. You got me good because you came on Stephen A's World and you reminded me, you understand, that I was wrong about my Knicks and all of that other stuff and I had to humble myself. I appreciate it. But I did tell you that y'all were going to lose game 2. Now, I do recall mentioning that to you. So when you saw what transpired in game 2, are you a little bit worried now that the Philadelphia defense may have figured y'all out to some degree?
Not really. I think we got to live with it. You know what I'm saying? Once you shoot the basketball like that so good, you got to live by the three or die by the three. And I think we just had a bad night when the basket is closed sometimes. But when you're shooting that ball, sometimes you get the best of it, sometimes you get the worst of it. And we're not going to steal 2 in Philly. Long as we get 1, we did our job, and I think we're going to be all right in Atlanta.
Now, Trey, of course, was acquired in a trade. You guys got an extra first-rounder and Trey Young, essentially, for Luka. And for a while, it looked like, that's not good. What has Trey Young proved in these playoffs to you?
I always believed in him. I wanted to get him as soon as we drafted Luka. I was just like, let's get him. But I ain't know how much influence I had, but I was just proud of just getting Trey Young to Atlanta Hawks, and I already knew what he could do. I just feel like he just needed some pieces and needed that confidence. And once he felt the city was behind him and that believed in him and all his teammates believed him, I think he started like really cranking up around about third year. Now he on his fourth year or his third, 3.5. I don't know if the bubble count, but you know what I'm saying? I think he'd be all right his third year. He's feeling himself right now.
You know your basketball. You follow this team. Talk to us about how you feel about the job Nate McMillan has done. I happen to know that he's already reached a contract agreement. They, you know, whether they announce it or not, he's going to be there for years to come. He's got a contract extension. How do you feel about the job Nate McMillan has done as the coach? And what were y'all feeling when they let go of Lloyd Pierce and had to elevate Nate McMillan?
I feel like Nate doing a good job. He keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? I can tell by the rotations. You know what I'm saying? Too many turnovers, too many mishaps on the court. He going to take you out the game and put the best guys what's fit. And I feel like he kind of like calmed down Trey from shooting from half court and shooting all over the place and just let him, you know what I'm saying, use his inside game with the floater. And if he got the open shot, shoot it. And that's what I like in this game that's evolved now with Nate. But I feel like before he would like come down the court and just, you know what I'm saying, take shots that he ain't need to, and sometimes it'll cost us going down 5, going down 10 sometimes, and minus the turnovers and stuff like that. So I feel like he can control that. He controlled that and kind of like coached that out of him, and I feel like right now he going to graduate into like, you know what I'm saying, shooting the ball when he need to.
Quavo, frequent caller to my radio show, Richard from Manhattan, brought this up the other day. I want to ask you about it. For all the way that Atlanta will rally around certain athletes, the fact is, between the Falcons, the Braves, and the Hawks, you guys have one chip. It's like the most under-the-radar story in sports. One. That was the Braves, and they were great every year. Do you think Trae Young can bring, forget about being a good team, a powerhouse, making a run, can you win a championship with Trae Young as your best player?
I believe we can win a championship with Trae Young as point guard. I feel like we need something else with to help. You know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody be like they one piece away. You know what I'm saying? But I honestly feel like we one piece away to like competing. But right now we doing our job, and I think we'll sneak in a little bit closer. But I believe in my boys, and I got faith in them. But I feel like, you know what I'm saying, the sky's the limit with them. But It's a tough game out there, especially them Brooklyn Nets. I feel like if we take this home in Brooklyn, the last task.
Yeah, one piece away to really contend.
Realistic.
Yeah. He called the Atlanta Hawks Splash Brothers East. Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, you came on that.
I love it.
I remember that. I told everybody you told me that.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I love it. That's good.
Southeast, yeah.
And now the other thing that's good with Culture 3, you can get people hyped because of your new record out tomorrow. And I just want to mention Drake's on there. Tell me if I'm missing anyone. Cardi, you got Justin Bieber, Love the Biebs, Pop Smoke, Rest in Peace. So looking forward to that. Yeah, got everybody. We all need some new music, right, after this pandemic. So that comes out, Culture 3, tomorrow. Quavo, talk to me about this. My guy, Big Perk, here at ESPN now. You guys got this little beef going on Twitter. What's it all about?
I don't got no beef with him. He must have felt some type of way when I dropped them bars. And ever since then, he was saying my bars was weak, and I only was just stating facts.
Okay.
But they were facts that led to his response, right? Like, you could choose lot of different facts. Why choose facts on Perk?
Yeah.
When I was doing my solo album, I was actually watching the finals, and my boy Big Perk had a suit on, man, when you was arguing and going at it with my boy Drake. I feel like, and that was the Cleveland finals, and you didn't really play like that, Perk. You didn't. And you wanted to argue, you wanted to fight, you caused so much chaos. If you ain't playing, and that's the moral of the story, and that's our tradition. Like, if you ain't playing, you shouldn't be trying to fight.
Well. First of all, let me set you straight on the story. I was minding my business and having a conversation with one of my former teammates and Serge Ibaka, having a little fun with him at the time. And Drake had to interact with the conversation and shoot something my way. And where I'm from in Beaumont, Texas, in the country, we don't care about names. We don't care about none of that. You shoot something my way, I'm gonna address you like the numbers on the house. And now let me address you with your comments talking about getting no playing time, Kendrick Perkins. Okay, at the time, I wasn't. I was the 14th, 15th man on the bench in my 13th year. But when I was putting in work, you probably still had Similac on your breath when I was helping the Celtics go to the finals during that time.
Hold on.
But look, so I took it. So, So look, at the end of the day, go pull it up. Go put in crucial games. Game 7, I came out with 13-10-5 against your Hawks when they had ISO Joe when they took us to Game 7. That's facts. And in the Eastern Conference Finals when they needed me the most, I stepped up my game against Detroit Pistons in a few games. I could pull up one, for example, where I had 16-15-7 blocks. So at the end of the day, when I was putting in work, I was doing my thing. So I get it, and I was cool with it. But I grew up in the era where...
Let me speak.
Go ahead, Quavo.
Also,
go.
You let the Lakers steal one when you weren't supposed to be hurt. You remember that?
No, but I'm saying, I tore my ACL. How can I control that? We all know that the Boston Celtics...
ESPN going to put AD in a wheelchair every time in the playoffs... Why not do Big Perk like that?
Hey, hold on, time out. How am I going to play on the tour in ACL?
Everybody roasts everybody in the playoffs who get hurt.
Can we squash it, Big Perk, when he get hurt?
Everybody got to feel sad for Big Perk.
Hold on. Hey, listen. I don't care. I got tough skin. I'm not even tripping on that. But at the end of the day, I grew up in Beaumont, Texas, and you couldn't walk in the schoolhouse or you couldn't walk in the cafeteria if you didn't keep a couple jokes in your back pocket.
KP,
so I was fine with you dropping your ball, huh?
KP, let me say this, man. I knew absolutely positively nothing about this quote-unquote beef or whatever it is between y'all. I knew nothing about this literally until y'all both came on air. Let me say this to you. Quavo loves his basketball, knows his basketball. You a champion. You're clearly a paid analyst on this network. You know your basketball. And now it's about us talking basketball. How about that? Are we good?
For sure.
Oh, we good.
And I just want to say this. I want to say this, though, for real, all jokes aside. It ain't never no beef with Big Perk, man. You know what I'm saying? It's all love, and it was just a bar. And I felt like I put you in a bar. And at the time, you wasn't getting no playing time. And you said your sons like it. And just I tell you what, just squash this. I'm going to do something for the kids. And, you know, tell the kids I'm gonna do something for them. So let's do it to settle this like this. But we're gonna settle this like men, straightforward. Yeah. And that uppercut was the closest thing. Cause I'm not. We ain't gonna do no internet beef. You know what I mean? So we don't play like that. And I'm from the north side of Atlanta, from the north. You know what I mean? We battle through injuries. We battle through all type of scars and war wounds. So I don't put nothing past you, Big Perk. You do your thing, and it's all respect and all love, it, dog.
Yeah, it's all love. Listen, if we had beef, we would have made hamburgers, and either two things would have happened. Either Quavo would have been grilling and he would have been serving triple meats, or I would have been grilling and serving little sliders. That's what would have happened if we would have had beef. It's just a little boxing, okay? It's a little boxing, and I'm all cool with it. Like I said, when I used to have to walk in the cafeteria and I had them high water pants on because I couldn't afford the long jeans, I had to be ready to clap back if people used to make fun of me. I'm used to it.
We all came from nothing, Big Perk. You know that. We all came from nothing, and we here today. You're both
doing your thing, onward and upward. Thank you guys so much for being with us. Who knew First Take would become Switzerland? Quavo, we appreciate you. Good luck to your Hawks. Big Perk, I'm sure I'll be talking to you tomorrow. Thank you guys so much for the time. Culture 3, it's out tomorrow. All right, gentlemen.
Were you not entertained? That was entertaining.
I wasn't.
You were not entertained?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, I was entertained.
I didn't like it one bit.
Why is that?
Because I don't.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I had nothing to do with that. I ain't know anything about it.
Okay. You want to talk the games? Who wins tonight?
Brooklyn will win. I'm sorry. Milwaukee is the only chance that they get swept.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Milwaukee tonight, and I'm going to go with Utah, win game 2.
Milwaukee's getting swept. They're not competing. And
getting swept?
Yeah, Milwaukee's getting swept.
Really?
Yeah, it got
You don't
worse.
Think he's going to bounce back now, Giannis, after he's hearing all that and being more physical and more aggressive?
It got worse. Game 1, Milwaukee missed open shots. Game 2, they just got destroyed. It got worse. It didn't get better. And they'll be at home, so maybe the game will be closer. I don't think they have an answer for these Nets, and that's without James Harden.
So what if there was James Harden?
Three. They'd lose in three. It would be the Nets in
three. I agree with him there.
Nets in three isn't a real take, fellas. All right. We covered a lot of ground today. Thank you to Quavo and Perk for being with us. We will see you all tomorrow. Have a fabulous day.